May 13th, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 35.
Brought to its knees by small furry creatures.
Hey everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, episode 35 of Nowhere in Mulberry. We're here at the Pop Culture District of Mulberry and ready to talk TV and movies and crap. How you doing, Steven?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Steven is here on my left. He is the pop culture zealot. Ask him any question, you know, who was the first dick on Bewitched? He knows it.
Dick Sargent, Dick York?
What? We also have Bill. How's it going, Bill? Mulberry Bill.
I'm okay. I'm kind of happy, but I'm also kind of angry.
Are you kind of, like, right in the middle?
I'm, like, distraught, yet not completely sad.
It sounds like you're kind of ambivalent. Is that the right word, Steven?
Thanks.
The beginning of every episode, I'm going to ask you if I'm using a word correctly.
Are you ambivalent?
Yes.
Are you apathetic?
You know what you need, my friend? You need some kind of self-help religion.
Scientology.
Yeah, something to get you through all this.
Do I get to come visit you and give you a reading? An e-meter reading, Bill?
Could you bring me a book on Dianetics? Because I can't really afford it right now.
Now, Bill, I'm kind of concerned here. What are you ambivalent and happy? Well, I mean, what are you happy and sad about at the same time? I don't understand.
Well, you know, a week or two ago, I talked about how we're going to finally get the Star Wars trilogy in its original theatrical version on DVD.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I think this is happening sometime near the end of the year, possibly in September. But what I'm even more upset about is I was a little upset when I heard that, but I was very happy. This week, you know, I'm going to declare my nerdiness and admit that I get weekly updates from StarWars.com. And okay. In my email, it said, hey, how you doing, R2? This week's email said that they have new merchandise available.
Right.
So I went on the website and looked, and one of the things that's available is a shirt with a cartoon caricature of Han Solo, and it says at the bottom, Han shot first. And
okay.
That really
cool.
Pissed me off.
Oh.
Because for years, Lucas would not give us the version we wanted, said they didn't exist, a number of other lies. Think Geek through the site PvP, they do a comic strip similar to Penny Arcade.
Right.
They had a shirt for ages that says Han shot first. And now Lucas is taking that, and he's going to make more money off of this.
Not only
from selling these DVDs how they should be.
Yeah, and by the way, the theatrical versions we saw as children do not exist anymore.
No, from what I understand, they are the originals.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
They must have dug them out of the Phantom Zone.
Yeah, because what you're saying, basically, George Lucas decided Han isn't the kind of guy that would just shoot first. You know, he would wait till he's threatened. And Greedo shoots the wall at a weird angle first, and then Han shoots him. And that's the way he always meant it to be, but he didn't have time to finish the scene or get it the way he wanted. So yeah, he was actually doing what originally he wanted to do. So
yeah, we all drank that Kool-Aid.
Yeah, so okay, then this new improved versions come out, you know, where Greedo shoots first and everyone hates it. Han shoots first, so they come out with the t-shirt. And now that Lucas is like, oh, wait, I just looked under my bed and I found the three prints to the original trilogy. I had them the whole time, guys. Han shoots first. Let's put out some t-shirts and
my
stuff.
My kids had them. They were...
And you know what else pisses me off? It's like in interviews it says like, Lucas has said, well, I never meant for Han Solo to be a mercenary.
Right.
He's just, you know... a guy looking to make his way, and with this new t-shirt, you get a collector's card from Topps that says, Han Solo, quite a mercenary.
Nice.
And it's just like, can you kick us in the balls anymore?
I know. Isn't it strange? Can you think of any other... it's hard to put this into words, but... somebody who's created something that's loved so much, and then to like zip down your fly and just start peeing on all your creations, and like, come on, you guys still enjoy it, don't you? Huh?
He makes us buy his, you know, reimagined editions. We finally get Star Wars on DVD, so everyone's like, you know what? We're just gonna have to get it, you know.
And I guarantee you that half the stuff, like,
it's like everybody says that. Whenever one edition comes out, you know, another bigger, right. Better edition will come out down the line.
Yeah, the double dip. But this is a lot different than just regular double dipping because it isn't like this is the version that's out now with all my new CGI stuff. Guys, like, even if you said 10 years down the road, I'll release the originals. But no, he said they will never be out, basically.
But what also sucks about this set coming out is that even though we're getting the versions we know and love,
right?
Getting them in their original, you know, stereo sound. It's in Dolby Digital 2.0. It's not surround or anything. But if anybody that has, you know, DLP-2 will get it, basically. But the thing that it is, it comes with theatrical versions, but it also comes with the versions we already bought.
I know!
So we've got to buy the versions we already bought to get the versions we want, and it's just dude, stop it.
Well, I have the DVD set because, you know, I couldn't wait to get it, you know.
Right.
And I got it for Christmas anyway, I believe, or my birthday, so I'll probably be asking for the next box set for my birthday or Christmas anyway, so I'm not going to pay for it. But there are a lot of people that are angry about this, like you're saying, Bill. I mean, it's very warranted to be mad, because I mean, stop lying to people. Just say, this is the version I want out right now. Maybe I'll put it out later down the road. But right now, I'm only interested.
Did it not do as well as he wanted? So
no, I think it did really
well.
No,
I'm just asking.
That's why.
As well as he thought.
This is all it is. And this is what Bill is saying. No. All it is he knows he can sell another box set. That's it. Don't you think, Bill?
Or if it was a bunch of the backlash for people wanting the original.
How many people have...
How long has this backlash been going on? There has been, I think Bill Hunt from thedigitalbits.com actually created a petition that has over like 40,000 signatures on it right now. People saying, you know, Greedo shot first, give us the original trilogy. And this has been going on for 10 years almost.
How many?
Since DVDs started coming out in like 97.
Yeah, well, and also, how many people used to say that, oh, Lucas, he's basically Yoda? No, he's not. He's more like Palpatine, all right?
He's absolutely Palpatine. Palpatine with a big, googly neck. So many people, especially fans, have gone through so much trouble to take various Laserdisc versions. You know, I've spent hundreds of dollars on the original Laserdiscs.
Right.
There's people online that do fan edits.
Right.
There's one guy...
It's completely out of hand. It's so funny that this guy created this original thing that everyone loves, but the new stuff, it's like, no, I'm going to take it and re-edit it.
Yeah, and everybody's so desperate to just have the original versions that they will go through amazing lengths to create new DVD versions of it. Like, I've sent you the fan edits of the original
film. They ought to make StarWars.com like Wikipedia, where people can just go on and change shit that they want. No. I like it better like this, you know, and they could, you know, make the film however you want. They should even make an editing feature.
I want the young
feature.
Anakin at the end of Jedi.
No, what they should do is they put out a new box set where it has an edit feature. You put it together however you want. You even have
seamless branching.
Yeah, you have seamless branching. You have all the tools that ILM has. Make whatever Star Wars movie you want. That would be awesome. I'd buy that, wouldn't you?
No.
Oh, switch off.
I don't want Hayden Christensen in any of my Star Wars movies.
Yeah, at the very end, Hayden Christensen standing in it.
Jake Lloyd or Hayden Christensen.
Well, I want to know if there's anyone, you know, he's in the theater, and he's like, yeah, we're going to put Hayden Christensen at the end of Return of the Jedi. We're going to take out that horrible John Williams Ewok song, and we're going to put in this little New Age Yanni shit. What do you guys think? Yeah, sure, George, that sounds like a good idea.
Yub Yub song.
Yeah, jeez. Where's the effing... You know, you may not like the Yub Yub song, but when we were kids, we saw it, and that's
know,
the one we want.
I can't even... I know that song.
Hello, nostalgia
yup,
factor.
Yup.
I mean, you're talking to the generation that they bought all the toys and stuff. They want the Yub Yub song, you know?
Right.
Oh, and even though now we don't think Return of the Jedi is the best of the films, it's still one of my favorites because I grew up on it. I love the Yub Yub song.
Right. Everyone.
I don't want to see some new celebration sequence with Gungans. You know, young, I never even heard of Gungans.
I don't want some jackass playing an oboe at the end of my Star Wars movie. You give me the Yub Yub crap, damn it. I'm with you on this
damn
one,
it,
Bill.
Frank Oz.
I am happy and sad because I own the box set. And you know the old box set? You know what I'm going to do with it? I'm going to give it to some starving kid in Ethiopia. What do you guys say? We'll start a campaign. We are going to ship all the old Star Wars to starving nations of the world. And they're going to go, why the hell are you sending this crap? We don't have a DVD player. We're starving. But still, it's the statement
trade
that
it
matters.
Trade it for food.
Yeah, it'll be a new form of currency.
We need to rent a bull, or not a bulldozer,
it won't
but
be worth
steamroller.
A lot.
Right.
Have everybody send us their Star Wars DVD sets, and we'll use a steamroller.
Yeah, hey, good idea. Let's just have Han step on Jabba's tail as he walks behind him. Yeah,
oh,
that'll be
oh
cute.
Oh, my God. That was so bad. That was so freaking bad.
What about Return of the Jedi when they... You know, I always wanted to do a bigger music number for Return of the Jedi, and we're going to have Boba Fett blowing kisses to the dancers. It's like, no. Just knock it off, all right? Stop messing with the movies. Make
I'll never
a new movie.
When he released the special editions in 97, I was so excited because I'd never seen it on the big screen. That was the whole advertisement.
Right.
That, you know, for years you've only been able to experience it like this, now experience it like this. So I was so excited, and I remember going to the theater with a friend of mine who had never seen Star Wars, ever. He was just sheltered, you know, he just never saw.
He was abused.
So, yeah, so I took him to see
Locked
Star Wars, the first
years.
One, and I was so horrified at what I was seeing, and he was so into it, he was loving it, and I was like, dude, that isn't Star Wars, that's like puppet show, is you know, it's like, it was horrible to see Han Solo dodge digitally. Like,
yeah.
Force slide across
Greedo's not even pointing correctly with his pistol. It comes out at an angle. You can't... First of all, can you even... If you've never seen Star Wars before, would you be able to even comprehend what's going on in that scene in the new version?
No.
Wouldn't Han be on the ground like, I can't move, I just, like, broke my own neck?
Yeah, it was just... Oh, I could go on about this for hours. You know, the anger I have towards it.
You know what? Let's create a new podcast. That's
the love-hate relationship.
That's the thing. We love Star Wars, and we hate what George Lucas is doing.
We can sum it up by we love it, but we hate, like you said, we hate what George Lucas, he is using us.
Yeah, I mean, because it's funny you brought this up, because I was talking to another friend, like, man, how cool is that? We're going to be able to get Star Wars. And I got my head nearly chopped off by this dude, like, no, man, no. He said, and he's like getting violent. You know, and I thought he was going to just punch me, like, you know, George Lucas isn't here, so I'm going to hit you. And I was like, oh, I thought you'd be happy Star Wars was coming out on DVD, you know, the original versions. But no,
all I'm gonna
people
say
are angry.
It really depends on how good these original theatrical versions look when they hit DVD.
Why would he be angry?
If it's just if it's a shitty transfer,
he feels
with
slighted.
Bad sound, I'll not buy him. I'll keep my fan edits because the fan
edits.
And
you know what, Bill? I even had the original Laserdisc copy on DVD that you sent me, and I'm happy with that.
Yeah, you know, I recently, I'll have to send you the new ones. There's this guy named, he calls himself a digital man, did fan edits of the films using the 2004 DVDs as source material, and then edited in the proper scenes with the original Laserdiscs and the original film score and all that. And they're terrific. You cannot tell the difference between the 2004 edition and the original theatrical. You know, he calls it the classic edition of Star Wars, where it's the original crawl without the A New Hope on it and all that. And it's just, it's absolutely terrific. So if these versions that come out are substandard, I'll just stick with the fan edits.
Right. And hell, why not? You know, instead of spending more money, giving more money to the Lucas Empire, right? The Old Republic is dead, my friend.
He's such a pimp. He's a pimp and we're his whores.
Yeah. It's just like dick, 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 right?
Dick, 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 dick.
Okay, we had enough of that. All right, now let's move on and become happy again. Let's check out some voicemail.
Well, hi, Mulberry crew. I wasn't going to call in at all, you know? Trying to be standoffish.
It's mystery call.
And private and all that, but just like Al Pacino, you keep dragging me in. I was tickled pink that the crazy guy actually thinks so highly of me to call and leave strange messages about me on the machine, but you had to go and ruin that by saying you like me more than him. Now there's this strange character in a brown trench coat following me around. He looks kind of like a malevolent Eddie Deason. Anyway, a little bit of useful information. Episode 33, I think I got only about half of it before the feed died, and I didn't get the rest of it, and I could never get it again when I tried to download it a second time. So I guess I missed your little sobriquet about Caprica. Sorry about that.
No problem.
I'll talk to you guys later, and I'll try to avoid my little stalker now.
Good luck. You know, it's hard to get rid of.
The field's open if you want to talk about dicks and butts. I mean, it's all yours. I yield it. Go right ahead.
Eugene should start his own podcast.
Or the butt man, if you want. have a good show, guys. Thanks. Bye.
Well, I thank you. You know, that's another thing. We're finally back up on our old feed. We got all of our shows back uploaded again. I took down 1 through 16, and I just... Episode 17 is a mashup of our first 16 shows, so I just did it like that. But SwitchPod is back up. Hopefully it stays up.
Good.
And
one and two need to stay on.
We're getting stats again. So, you know, that's all good. But that's not the only voicemail we got. We got another one. Let's check it out.
Jason, or should I say the J-Strom. God, how many years has it been, my friend? In case you don't know who this is Ron. Remember, we grew up together.
Ah, the Ron.
California. Yeah, amazing. You get a podcast show, and I find you because you're doing it.
Yeah, hit the big time.
You sit there and think, if any good's coming of the podcast, just think, man, a friend you haven't seen in almost 25-plus years found you because of your podcast.
Dang it.
So, like I said, I found your podcast. I clicked it. Listen, hey, you guys got a good show, man. Mulberry Bill, man.
Thank you.
I'm picturing a guy with walls of movies, and I'm picturing a guy who has his refrigerator next to his chair and a helmet with the straws with the beers attached to him. You know,
not far from the truth.
Vanessa, 6'3", good Lord. And Jason... Man,
my last
image of J-Strom is—I don't know if you guys remember the what was that little kid name in the Brady Bunch, the smallest, not Peter, but the cousin that used to
Oliver
with the bowl cut. J-Strom used to have that bowl cut.
Lord, how dare you, sir? dare you?
Well,
cousin Oliver,
very entertaining.
Child
like
abuse.
All
right,
I do it on the bus whenever I get a chance, and just keep it up, man. Just keep plugging along and just keep it up. And maybe once in a while I'll chime in with some music. And I'm going to start right now with the Kids of Whidney High. I don't know if you saw the movie The Ringer.
No, I have not.
They made an appearance in there. But I have a hit song. This is a guaranteed hit song right here. It is called Insects, and I'm going to play it for you.
Awesome.
Play it for your listeners if you feel like it. But I believe this has got Billboard written all over it, man.
I trust
you. This doesn't make Billboard. If crap like Britney Spears and crap like NSYNC and shit like that can make it up there, Kids of Whidney High definitely got a chance. So you need to give this a listen. All right, here we go. Once again, this is called Insects, the Kids of Whidney High, which, by the way, Jason, is located in Hermosa Beach, California. I think you know where that's at. So here
sure.
we go. Once more time, the Kids of Whidney High.
All right. It's very awkward.
God damn, what the hell's wrong with the damn thing? Hold on.
Come on, you got us geared up.
You got us all ready.
In the water, you're in trouble. Spiders will come after you.
Pretty catchy, yeah. Here we go. Here goes some more. It's a public service announcement. Let's keep it going.
My dog likes it.
For those that missed out on the lyrics, hopefully this message is still going. I will read the lyrics to you so you better understand them. If you accidentally fall in the water, you're in trouble. Spiders will come after you. Bees will sting you very hard all over your body. These are the lyrics of this awesome Billboard freaking rank song.
I love Mongoloid rock.
Just wanted to open your guys' ears and minds up to some new music out there, right? Thank you.
You know, what about me?
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Ron. Thank you. Okay. A little
I can't believe
here.
The Kids at Whidney High are still going strong with their revolutionary music.
I've never even heard of that before.
They've been around for a while. I think it's just new kids every year.
All right, on that note, let's check out what's good in entertainment. Awesome. All right, guys, entertainment. A couple of new movies are coming out soon, but the one everyone's talking about is The Da Vinci Code.
No.
How offended are you guys by this Da Vinci Code? I have no idea why anyone...
I'm not entirely offended by it, just because it's just so incredibly stupid.
Isn't it like a work of fiction?
Yes. It's a complete work of fiction.
Then why is anyone upset about it? That's
because
what I don't
it's
understand.
Based loosely around some actual things that have
right.
happened.
What's wrong with Jesus getting it on? Is what I want to know.
Well,
is it because
I'm not even gonna get into the religious aspect.
Is it because
of it?
People don't like they don't want him to be a sexual being? Is what
right.
it comes down to, right?
Well, I don't think he. I don't even want to get into it. This is so deep. That I don't want to say something stupid, so I'm just going to leave it alone.
Yeah, they don't want to think that Mary Magdalene and Jesus had a child together.
But, I mean, hey, Ron Howard,
well,
man, he's got quite a track record.
It's
in the
just
Bible.
Plain. It's plain and simple. They
but,
didn't.
Well, I'm not no, saying
yeah,
they
no,
did.
No, but,
I'm not saying they did, but I'm, that's
no,
why...
I know, but that's why people are upset about it.
Is it... Okay, so if they made a movie where Jesus, drove a race car, would that offend people too? Because cars weren't even around back then. This is
all and died.
You know
what? If anybody makes anything about Jesus or anything involving the Bible that is not scripturally sound and accurate, people are going to get upset.
Yeah, now, but you can't make anyone happy in that.
Exactly.
There is no scripturally sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's...
Everybody's going to interpret it their own way.
Yeah, that's why there's so many different religions or different sects in religions. Yeah. I said sex and
religion. Everybody wants to interpret it their own way.
I'm actually working on a screenplay.
Read it and listen and believe what it says.
I'm writing a script about Jesus where he's a really bad carpenter. Will that offend people?
Well, who knows? Maybe he wasn't the best carpenter.
It's like, dude, this is totally off. It's totally crooked. My books won't stand up. Or my scrolls.
My scrolls keep rolling off the shelf.
My scrolls keep rolling. Okay, but anyway, Ron Howard, he's got a great track record, so I hope the Da Vinci Code turns out... Yes. Come on. Far and Away, The Paper, Splash.
Apollo 13.
Gung Ho.
Okay, I'll give it to him.
Willow. Gung-ho. Man, what a piece of crap that was.
Hey, I don't know how I got it.
I can't believe nobody we didn't just call you out on that.
Any movie with George Wendt, George Wendt is worth... Yes.
I like the scene at the end of Gung-ho where they're all doing jumping jacks.
Yes.
Right.
Everybody's got to love Getty Watanabe.
Yes.
Getty Watanabe.
Speaking of Getty Watanabe... Is X-Men The Last Stand. Let's check out a trailer directed by Brett Ratner.
We're going to protect our citizens.
Make no mistake, my brothers. The humans will draw first blood. And the air is still. The night has fallen. If there's any one question you must answer. Who will you stand with?
Ian McKellen is the coolest queen in film.
Major pharmaceutical company has developed a way
I think
to
that's the way they always have him talking in every trailer of the movies.
They're calling it a cure.
Even the Da Vinci Code.
There's nothing to cure. Nothing's wrong with any of us for that matter.
You of all people know how fast the weather can change. Did you find what you were looking for?
The source of the cure is a mutant. More powerful than you.
From the director of Rush Hour and Rush Hour 2.
Walker, but she has to be controlled.
You know, sometimes when you cage the beast, I can't do this. The beast gets angry.
You know who plays the beast in this, right, Steven?
I hate when the beast gets angry.
I think the beast is the angel of death.
That's right. Kelsey Grammer.
I'm listening.
Fraser Crane.
I feel like some tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
You go to war, you might not come home. She might not come home.
I just don't know what to do with them, though.
We're not kids anymore.
Tossed salad.
You eat them.
If you want to go, be sure it's what you want.
It's time we make our choice. If you're with us, then be with us.
They wish to cure us. And I say we are the cure.
Look, Minji, we can help you. We can fix it. We can make it like it was. Stay with me.
Going berserker, Wolverine style. Sneak, sneak.
Awesome. Now, Bill, do you think you'll go see this in the theater?
No.
No?
No.
Is it because you're not a big fan of X-Men films, or just because
the Angel of Death scares him?
I just really don't care. I don't have any sort of expectation or...
Is it the Brett Ratner? You know, a lot of people, when they heard Brett Ratner was directing X-Men, they got really pissed off, like he's going to ruin it.
Now, you know what? Brett Ratner may be a tool, but I don't necessarily have anything against him. Sure, he makes shit movies, but people go see him. I just really don't care. Maybe it's the story. I'm not getting enough from it. It just seems like it was really kind of thrown together.
Now, I actually have a sneak preview of a scene of X-Men, and I don't know. I'm going to give Brett Ratner the benefit of the doubt, and hopefully, you know, he doesn't go on, you know, he doesn't rest on his old laurels. He doesn't play the same cards he has before. Well, let's see how he did. Let's check this scene out.
Hey, Scott, we're looking for you downstairs. You didn't show.
What do you care?
Well, for starters, I had to cover your ass.
I didn't ask you to.
No, you didn't.
The professor did. I was just passing through.
So pass through, love.
Look. I know how you feel.
Don't.
When Jean died,
I said don't.
Maybe it's time for us to move on.
Not everybody heals as fast as you, Logan.
No, they don't.
Hank!
Aurora! Charles!
I love what you've done with your hair. Mm,
you too. Thank you for seeing me on such short notice.
Henry, you are always welcome here. You're a part of this place.
I have news.
Who's the furball?
What the hell did you just say?
Hank McCoy, Secretary of Mutant Affairs.
Right, right.
Don't tell me they put him in this movie.
I assume.
Henry, this is Logan. He's Wolverine. I hear you're quite an animal.
Look who's talking.
I'm gonna kick your ass.
A major pharmaceutical company has developed a mutant antibody, a way to suppress the mutant X gene.
Suppress?
Permanently. They're calling it a cure.
What the hell did you just say?
Well, that's ridiculous. You can't cure.
I can't believe they put him in this movie.
Well, scientifically speaking,
it's going to become a disease. How can anybody in their right...
Huh? Say something.
Ladies and gentlemen, I proudly present the answer to mutation.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
He's going to ruin the movie.
Is it cowardice to save oneself from persecution? Not all of us have such an easy time fitting in. You don't shed on the furniture.
I'm going to kick your ass.
Well, we know the government helped cook this up.
I can assure you the government had nothing to do with this.
I've heard that before.
My boy, I have been fighting for mutant rights since before you had claws.
Did he just call me boy?
Is it true? Insurance?
Yes, Rogue, it seems to be true.
They can't cure us.
Which boy?
One and all.
Oh, Jackie Chan's in this
too? Nothing's wrong with you. Or any of us, for that matter. Understand?
Never touch a black man's radio, boy!
Well, unfortunately, Brett Ratner has gone back to the same old drawing board. Very disappointing. All right, let's check out what's on our TiVos. All right, Foggy, no more Eugene. Now, guys, last night I saw this show called Keith Barry Extraordinary. Did you guys check this out?
Luckily, I completely forgot about it.
Well, this guy's doing, you know, sleight of hand magic tricks or whatever, and this is the funniest thing about it. When you're going to amaze somebody with your magic tricks, don't have Jessica Simpson on your show, because she does not understand what the hell's going on.
And she's amazed by the fact that her hand moves.
What's so hilarious is he does this trick, and she doesn't even know it's happened. It's like he tells her to put this thing in a glass, because this is very visual, I'll explain to you. Put this in a glass and shake it and think of a good thought. And the bottle shatters, right? It's a very solid, but just her thinking about it and swishing it, it breaks. But she doesn't understand that that's the trick. It's just, it's really bad.
Hello there.
Good Lord.
Good?
That was rather fantastic. I love it. Hello there, I'm
scary.
Keith. How are you? Did you know these bottles, this shaped bottle is one of the most solid bottles made. They don't break. And actually, I want you to take it and just make sure it's solid. Give it a whack. Solid? Okay. Here's the interesting thing, okay?
I'm gonna
I was waiting for it to go through the glass, but here's the interesting thing. I want you to take this Coke bottle at the very top, with your fingers. Mm-hmm. Take this shard of broken glass. Be careful, it is real glass and it is broken.
Stick it in your eye.
Put your hand out over the ice bucket. Just stretch it out. I'll pull this in for you.
Thank you.
But keep it outstretched if you don't mind.
Okay.
And then when you're ready, I want you to put the piece of broken glass inside the Coke bottle. We'll hold it up just here.
Okay.
Put the piece of broken glass in.
I don't even follow what this guy's talking about.
Here we go.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it.
I want you to concentrate on any memory mark and shake the Coke bottle from side to side. Shake the bottle from side to side. Concentrate on any memory. Keep going. I want you to concentrate. Oh! Whoa!
All right, well, check that show out on Fridays.
Yeah, please.
What the hell is that?
Sounds terrific.
Yeah,
glad I'll be in airplanes flying.
Piece of crap, man. She just doesn't understand anything. Now, a great thing happened.
Take this point to Guinness.
Guys, Jay Leno does not make me laugh. I don't think he's a funny guy, but he actually...
Yeah, I don't make you laugh.
No, Jay, you don't. But he amused me this week because Tom Cruise was on his show. He made Tom Cruise blush.
So how was Kate? When is Siri ever going to get on a bike?
Well, Kate actually was never on a motorcycle until she met me.
Really?
Yeah, she was never on our first date. Her family's watching the show.
Well, I'm saying on a bike.
My family's watching.
I mean, on a bike is what I'm saying.
Yes, of course.
What a filthy mind. You know. Did she like it?
What do you mean by that?
Hey, you're so bad. He got his thetans all up, all riled up.
Yeah, is she a virgin? Yeah. She's never rode a bike before? Yeah.
So did she like it?
Yeah.
Do you like to ride my bike?
Guess what, Tom? I'm a virgin, too. Would you sleep with me? Look at this jaw.
We also had The Apprentice this
World's
week.
World's worst Jay Leno impression.
Did I even mention why Vanessa's not here this week? I don't think I did. The reason Vanessa's not here is because she's having internet problems. She has Alltel now, like Bill did a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And hopefully she'll be back next week. This week on The Apprentice... It was guys against girls, just like I predicted last week. They were supposed to host a tailgating thing sponsored by the Outback Steakhouse, right? None of that matters, all right? All you need to know is the men failed.
How could men fail at tailgating?
I know, they had the best plan. They were like, let's get exclusivity on the cheerleaders. Get all the cheerleaders around our booth. We'll have one of those money things where you stand in it and money blows and you try to pick it up. We'll have a ribboning contest.
The cheerleaders blow for money?
They were not selling the food like they were supposed to, while the other chicks didn't have cheerleaders. What I think is funny is they totally failed at this by not selling, but they kept ganging up on the Michael guy because he was like, maybe we should let them have some of the cheerleaders. It's only fair. And here's what happened.
Christine came by. She's really nice. However, she kind of felt bad that she gave us the exclusivity. And she mentioned that Synergy was really trying to get a couple of cheerleaders.
Absolutely.
So I told her that we'd reconsider and maybe allow them to send one or two cheerleaders to the other team.
Tell her we can't do that because we've already
made deals
contingent on the fact that we're going to be the only ones with the cheerleaders in the dance team.
Are you sure you don't want to even provide one or two cheerleaders as a sign of good faith? Are you positive about that?
To the other one?
Yeah, for the other team. Hell no.
Michael phones Lee and I and asks us, hey, out of good faith,
blimey,
to share the cheerleaders with Synergy.
I'm a chimney sweeper,
about? No, of course not. Gross and balls, phone her back and say, no, you
I'm yelling
her.
And I
no.
don't know why.
Listen, Michael.
Can I have some
any gestures of good faith, considering that we've lost 7 out of 10 tasks, okay? So, no, sorry.
So, no.
George, what do you think?
I think they screwed up royally. I think the price was wrong. I think they went in, they were overconfident.
Nah, I didn't take my five appeals this morning.
I can't get over
my
phone call to give up the exclusivity.
I got my nitroglycerin here.
I accidentally took a Viagra instead.
Good Lord. George.
Robin, let him in.
Carolyn, go ahead. You have some very strong
opinions. Well, I do. I have an issue because I don't know what's worse about the bad decision with the negotiations of the cheerleaders or just creating a spectacle and not selling.
Contemplating giving up an exclusivity was just funny that they pick on this
Michael guy for some...
Michael.
You know, handing over the cheerleaders and he didn't do it. And they failed, but it's not really his fault.
You know what? I'm sort of like a fair guy in life, but I really want to win a lot. And I hate like hell taking an asset that you have and handing it over to the other side.
You didn't give it up.
No, you didn't give it up, not because of you, but because of Lee and Sean. They thought the question was stupid. But did you think it wasn't stupid?
I would never give up. I'm in no position to
give up. I mean, you're giving up beautiful cheerleaders. I learned a long time ago, when you have a cheerleader, you never give her up. Okay?
Okay.
Sort of like Marla Maples.
Where's the thing?
Yeah. Guess she was a bad cheerleader.
Where is it? This could be a big business
after they've
deal.
Hit the
You're
wall.
Be president of one of his organizations. You're just going to say, okay, and then risk giving something up. You don't do that in business.
I was not going to give it up, Mr. Trump.
Give it up.
Please hear me out on this.
Go ahead.
When you negotiate a deal with someone, and they come back and start to complain,
You want to give them the idea that you're listening to them. If the person negotiating is not happy...
Kind of like the Donald does with everybody. I'm pretending to listen.
She might have not been happy if we weren't able to...
Let me loud talk at you and you'll listen to me!
Even though you know that you are not going to give them up.
What did you do to secure the exclusivity? What did you offer them? What did you give them? Did you give them free food? Did you give them... What did you give
them? I actually did offer them the ability to have some free food for the cheerleaders while they were there. But other than that, I didn't really offer them anything. In terms of negotiating, I didn't really offer them much at all.
Why?
You want to solidify a deal. Offer them something. You offer nothing, you get nothing.
It was a very good idea to get the exclusivity. But you didn't do anything to secure... The
Foggy, how much can it be to just turn this clip off?
You
have about $10. How much you got, Steven?
I'm tired of hearing exclusivity.
I don't understand. What's the thinking?
Seriously, Steven, how much money can you get Foggy to turn this off?
I'm not saying you lost for that, but I hate the thinking.
I can't hear you over George.
It almost looks like you want the other side to win.
Foggy, we got $20 right here. Just turn it off.
The coach and the cheerleaders comfortable with us so that they would perform for us.
Michael, I don't like the fact that you didn't sell. You couldn't sell, you wouldn't sell. Who knows? But especially the fact that you were willing to give up the cheerleaders, your prime asset. You're willing to give them up to the other side. The other side's doing well. They're beating you to a pulp. And you're willing to give up the prime asset. Michael, you're fired.
Finally.
Go. Out. Thank you. And you two guys did a lousy job also. Don't feel so great.
Hey, we didn't do that bad, did we?
Don't go smiling now, Pally.
All right, well, that's The Apprentice.
Holy shit, I think we just watched the entire episode.
I know. I don't even really care who wins it at this point. Let's talk Smallville, guys. Yes. Season finale of Smallville. Yes, it was. Another.
I couldn't even tell. I thought, you know, season finales were supposed to end in, like, some big cliffhanger.
What are you talking about? Huge cliffhanger. Now, you guys know what
did
this...
You must have watched the Aquaman episode after.
That's what it was. The special repeat of the Aquaman episode. Now,
needless to say, I wasn't impressed.
How genius was it when Lex is like, oh, my head! Oh! And he goes and he hops in his car, and the whole time he's like, oh, my head! And when you have Lana chasing him in her car... I loved Lana following him the whole way, calling him on the phone. Lex, are you okay? And he's like, oh, jeez.
Leave me alone.
My dome. So anyway, he goes out in the middle of a field and all this explosions and stuff. He gets sucked up into a spaceship and Milton finds there. We are preparing him.
For what?
What? We don't know. Commercial break.
We're gonna have a barbecue later in the day with Donald Trump.
This episode
just returned
with cheerleaders.
So basically we know what they're doing is they're setting Lex up to be the vessel to contain Zod. Zod will be zapped into his body. And everyone else knows this, but the thing that I love about Clark...
Everybody knows everything except this.
Well, Clark is always like, do what now? You know, he just never gets it quite all the way, you know, and...
What?
He even...
It reminds me of, Ted Theodore Logan should be his name.
If he was Superman.
What?
What now? I'm going to go talk to my dad in Fortress of Solitude. And he's like, son, Zod will come and wreak terror on your planet. Here's a cool knife. Stab him with that. Stab the vessel and everything will be taken care of. He's like, I can't kill anybody. And he goes to talk to Chloe. And what I love, he's like, I'm going to have to kill Lex if he's the vessel. And, you know, Lana shows up just in time to hear that last part of the conversation. They're going to kill Lex. And then she goes back. This is the funny thing. She goes back to warn Lex. Or, no, she goes back to Lex's house. It's always unlocked. You can, you know, just get whatever you want in the fridge. That's cool.
It's a B&B, basically.
And she's collecting all of her photographs and stuff. And all of a sudden, after Lionel shows up in the field... where Lex promptly throws him about 60 feet to the windshield of his car, and he's okay,
and
though.
And survives.
Yeah, don't worry about it. He's fine. And anyway, he goes back home real quick, and he tells Lana, and I love the scene. He's like, Lana, I gotta tell you something. He takes a gun out, And he shoots himself in the hand. And I love Lana. She's like trembling, like, oh my God, oh my God. And he's like,
crazy.
Opens up his hand slowly, and the bullet's there.
No, and she opens his hand.
Yeah, and her hands are trembling. She's such a fantastic actress, and you see the bullet there. I really thought she was scared, Steven.
He did. He was.
She was really trembling.
He was worried for Lana.
She doesn't know Clark has ever had powers or anything. That's the whole secret. She goes, Clark said he was going to kill you. And it's like, okay, but obviously you have nothing to fear because you just showed me you can shoot yourself in the hand and bullets won't hurt, so I shouldn't be worried about this. Why do they even care? Why does she care? So
because they're writers.
So the genius behind this is the T-1000 shows up once again. Dr. Milton Fine. Paging Dr. Fine. Dr. Howard. Dr. Fine. Or is it Dr. Howard, Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine?
No, it's no, Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought. Hello.
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 So the Three Stooges are riding Smallville now. So
they're channeling the Three Stooges.
I laughed at that trembling scene or whatever, but there are some scenes later on that had me laughing. Now, that's what I love the show is it's very entertaining. You've got, for some reason, there's a subplot with Clark's mom and Lois on a airplane trip.
Yeah, they're going to the Capitol, yes, yeah, for some meeting.
And, okay. Moving on from that scene.
It's dark. We should have landed an hour ago.
Yeah, I love Milton Fine comes up to Clark and he's like, I'll give you one more chance. Join Zod. You couldn't become the vessel.
Free him.
Jor-El was too strong in you. Free Zod and everything will be okay. It's okay. You're not going to agree with me? I'm going to just send a little Matrix Kryptonian virus through this laptop here and cripple the entire world. All the lights start going out and stuff. So he goes to find Chloe, like, hey, what's going on? He kind of explained me this stuff, but I wasn't really paying attention. She's like, Clark, what's happening is the whole world is blacking out, you see. Without power, chaos will immediately ensue. Because the power's been off for 5 minutes, but there's already riots in the street, Clark.
And he's like, loved the text. They use, like, stock footage, and it says, New York.
Yeah, and it's obviously, and they're beating Rodney King in the film. It's like, hey, that doesn't look like New York.
That's the Watts riots from L.A.
They've got Hurricane Rita, people walking around in water. It's like, where'd the flooding happen? They just turned the power off. It's been off for 5 freaking minutes.
And then a car crashes through the window.
And there's bullet time of...
Yeah, you know what? That the car crashes through just so they could use Smallville bullet time.
But what I don't understand, Bill, is she says the power is off in the city. Let me see if I can pick up a radio station. He's like, again, the power is off in Smallville. What are we going to do? Or Metropolis.
Metropolis.
It's like,
people are rioting. I can't believe it.
How am I even broadcasting this? Luckily, I have a solar-powered radio station.
Wait a second. It's nighttime.
But I loved it. Okay, and he's like, well, I gotta go stop Lex. That's gotta be what I gotta do, Chloe, so I'll see you later. And she's like, hold on there. And slaps a kisser right on him. So Clark goes to meet up with Lex in the barn for the big showdown. And how come the way super people fight on the show is they just throw each other back and forth? Like, I'm going to throw you over there. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to throw you over there.
I knew there was something different about you, Clark.
And I'll throw this at you.
Yeah, and Lex got to see Clark use his powers. But, you know, it wasn't too wowed by it or anything. He's got his cool Kryptonian dagger, and he's going to stab him, but Milton Fine shows up to tell him, yeah, kill him! And he does. There's some more bullet time, Bill. You thought it was over, but there's some more bullet time. He throws the knife right into Milton Fine, right?
What have I done? Yeah, it's like all of a sudden his red starts shooting out, and then it goes to the Fortress of Solitude, and red's shooting out of there.
Hey, why did they put a way for Clark to unlock Zod in the Fortress of Solitude? Why did they do that?
Well, you never know when you're going to...
Shitty riders?
So it creates this beam from the Fortress of Solitude to Milton Fine.
You know, whenever you've got really tough stains, the only thing that'll get it out is Zod.
So any idiot can tell what just happened. He's unlocked Zod, and Zod is now in Lex's body. What does Clark say? The first thing he says is, Lex?
Lex?
It's like, you idiot! He's like, I'm Zod, dumbass. Come on, you didn't even get that? The writers are trying to help you along here. Come on.
Look, the big red beam of light hit me.
Did you not see the red beam of light? It hit me. Did you not see it? Didn't you see me going, oh, as it hit me? That was Zod coming into my very being. And he even says, you know, he's like, where's Lex? And he's like, he's dead. So anyway, Zod is now in power and Clark's gone. And we get to see Chloe in a...
Being gang-raped.
So her and Lyle are pulled out of his limo, and it looks like they're going to be beaten to death with pipes or something.
Nothing like a little full-clothing gang-rape.
Not to mention Lois and Mrs. Kent are on the airplane, and they've got no oxygen because Milton Fine's flying the plane. I don't know what...
Depressurize the cabin.
Why didn't he just kill him, Bill? Why is he going to do the ruse of the airplane?
Because
he still has to keep her, Mrs. Kent, alive in case Kal-El escapes. He still has a bargaining chip.
Okay.
Even though he's in the Phantom Zone, something that Zod could not get out of for millions of years or whatever, and all of a sudden he needs a bargaining chip.
What I think it is there's so many Milton Fines, they just don't all have something to do.
Well, he's put the virus in, so they can't communicate through the satellites anymore.
And that's the Milton Fine that always never has anything to do. So they're like, let's get this copy to fly him an airplane or something. We got to keep him busy doing something. So Lana shows up, plead her undying loyalty and love to Lex, who's now Zod. And,
while the world is crashing down around her.
And by the way, Lex is in his cool Neo Matrix trench coat, by the way.
Awesome.
How much did you like that, Bill? That shows he's evil. Pure evil.
Yeah. A black trench coat means
anytime
evil.
You're wearing a black leather trench coat, it means you're rich and evil.
It means you're rich and evil, or you're gay, and you like leather.
And you're naked underneath, and you flash people.
You're very stylish, too, you know. So at the very end, and I started laughing, they show Clark in the Phantom Zone floating in space right as all the power in the entire world is going out. The effects were so awkward of him like, ah, you know, in the thing. I just thought it was hilarious.
Everything involving Tom Welling is awkward. not really that, like, that was a stretch.
We make fun of Smallville, but how much fun is it just making fun of this show and watching it, you know?
Well, it's the same as 24 for me, you know?
I know.
It's not nearly as entertaining as 24, but it's just both of them have a level of, you know, suspension of disbelief.
Right.
And
well, yeah, of course.
It's just fun. They're fun to watch, and they're fun to make fun of, and... It's just fun. It's brainless television.
Guys, let's get into some 24. All right. We left off with 24 with Jack in an airplane. He's got the recording of the president. And this is what happens.
I can't believe it's come to this. I'm going to shoot down a plane full of innocent people.
None of us is happy about this, Mr. President, but you don't really have a choice. Bauer has evidence implicating you in this conspiracy. And I don't have to tell you what the consequences will be for all of us if it's released.
Come quietly or there will be trouble.
What upsets me about that is he's upset about shooting down a plane, yet earlier in the season he was willing to gas an entire mall.
Yeah. Hey... You know, this is more people, I think, than the mall, maybe. No, I think it's less.
Maybe it's less.
Because it's an airplane.
The airplane crashes into some major metropolitan.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If they shoot down an airplane, it's going to land somewhere, the wreckage.
I mean,
and you know what?
Unless it's over some Nebraska cornfield, you know.
But what's great, don't worry about that, because once Jack learns that a F-18 is heading right towards him, he's going to land the plane, and here's what happens. Lands that bastard on a freeway.
Awesome.
See to you.
It's you.
Spotted the plane. They're coming in for a landing. We're heading towards them now.
I'm handing the controls back to you. Tuck it down.
Stay on target.
We're going too fast. Tuck it down.
Stay on target.
Eject.
Use the force. Use the force.
Target touched down. Not clear.
So, Jack lands. Everyone's fine. He's got the recording. He goes back to CTU. Everything's fine, right, Bill?
No, everything is not fine.
The president figures, I'm screwed. They've got the recording. I'm going to kill myself. And they have this long scene where he talks to the guy from RoboCop again. He's like, sorry, it was great working with you, Mr. President. You know things can't happen like this. He's like, I know what I got to do. He's going to kill himself.
Yeah, I got to go fall in a vat of toxic waste.
He's got his, goes to talk to his wife, and she says, you're a despicable human being, blah, blah. He's like, okay, whatever, I'm going to go kill myself anyway. Right as he's about to kill himself, he gets a phone call from that Miles dude at CTU.
Miles. The weasel!
Who knows they have the recording, and he's basically saying is, I'd like to offer my services up. I'll take care of this digital recording of you, and you kind of set me up for life, I guess. Is what
Miles Papazian.
Right, so he's like, I would very much appreciate that, and I will never forget this gesture. So he walks into the room for a second where Chloe's decrypting or whatever. Why can't he just, everybody, before we start messing with this, listen to this recording, click.
Yeah.
Why won't they do that?
What's so hard about pulling a digital recording off of something and just putting it on a hard drive? Just
freaking make an MP3 and put it on iTunes or something, all right?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone could hear it, all right?
Hide it in plain view.
Here's my President Incrimination Podcast by Chloe O'Brien. But instead, Miles walks in, he's like, how's it going? Okay, and he leaves, and you see scenes the next week. It looks like he used some kind of...
he had that little thing in his hand that was flashing red. It was like a little...
It's a tiny microscopic EM... It's an EMP, I think, Bill. It's a little miniature EMP. It's like in the Matrix. You know?
Was his lightsaber.
So what I'm going to say is this episode of 24 is filler episode.
Well, it's not even filler. You know, it's like they were like, oh shit, we kind of wrapped it up too soon. Let's drag it out a little more.
Yeah, and that Bierko guy, Julian Sands, is all of a sudden back on the show.
We need the warlock.
Yeah, we got the warlock back. It feels like they're just manipulating us now. They're just stretching it out. This episode, thumbs down. Did not like it at all. Even though the airplane landing on the freeway was cool.
After episode being good, and then to, you know, reach this point and, you know, do this to us, it was just kind of like,
yeah.
What are you doing? What's going on here?
It's like when the box set comes out, take this episode out of the box set, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it doesn't exist.
I mean, they could have had a scene where, you know, Kiefer was like, eating some calorie mate, that would have been more entertaining. Calorie mate. So that was 24. I can't wait for next week. Hopefully it'll improve on this one. The season's almost over.
How many are left?
Let's wrap it up. I think there's 3 episodes left, so hopefully they'll have 2 more of stretching it out, and then the final one will be really good.
I wonder if they're going to end the episode with Jack in London, where it picks up for the movie that's supposedly getting made.
And he's got his little bag, and he unzips it, and he's got... Calorie Mate! It turns out the whole show is a freaking Calorie Mate commercial. So anyway...
It really should be.
Before we move on to Alias, Bill, we haven't talked a lot about Veronica Mars this season of Nowhere in Mulberry, but, you know, we kind of dropped off, talked about it. But let me just say that the finale of Veronica Mars blew me away, and I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. Awesome, dude!
I mean, we don't have to get into details, but, I mean, it really was the kind of finale that every other
you
show...
You expect...
To try to live up to.
Yeah, you expect this sort of finale from a show as good as Veronica Mars. And I was like, I was heartbroken whenever the plane exploded, because I truly thought that, you know, the character of Keith Mars was getting killed off. And I was like, no!
The whole thing was an emotional
character in the entire show.
Kristen Bell is such a great actress that you could, you know, your heart skipped a beat because you feel like her loss and everything. And I have a quick clip of this. Just check this out. And if you've never watched Veronica Mars, this won't mean anything to you. And or if you haven't seen the finale yet, go ahead and skip this.
Logan, move away from him.
Veronica, don't.
He killed my father!
Oh, give me the gun, Veronica.
He killed everyone on the bus. He raped me.
You are not a killer, Veronica. Give me the gun. You're not a killer, Veronica.
emotional roller coaster.
I gotta add that I loved, even up until the last point, they're still calling that Cassidy Casablancas the evil genius Beaver.
And
it's like right before he's about to jump, they go, Beaver, don't jump! And he's like, my name is Cassidy!
And then he jumps to his death.
Yeah.
But I love that she's like saying, he killed my father, he killed everyone on the bus, and he raped me. Can you get even worse than this bad guy here? This guy's a total jerk!
So innocent. And then when you... it was great how they developed it for... It's like you realized what was going on at the same time she was in the show.
Right. They didn't
it's
do
not
the...
Like, it's not like they there was this big reveal. You realized it just as she did.
And the thing that's
that
annoying...
you were a part of it.
That's like the thing that's annoying a lot of times on something like Lost is they reveal to us, the viewers, which they don't reveal to the... people on the show, the characters.
Yeah.
So we're getting mad that they're not discovering something that we know. What I like about Veronica, they keep their cards very close to the vest, and they let us know. Veronica, when she learns something, we're learning it too. We're not like, Veronica, come on.
Yeah.
And that's what we're always yelling at Jack about. Like, come on, Jack, you moron. But
I
Veronica
love this
Mars,
show so much, and I'm really worried that it's not going to be coming back.
You know, I've read that too, and I'm not too worried. I really think it will come back to the CW.
If it doesn't come back to the CW, I would love to see, what's the guy's name, Rob Thomas?
Yeah.
I'd love to see him take it back to HBO and say, listen, can we do something here?
Oh, exactly.
I would love to see, you know.
See, because the whole deal is that there was the finale of Seventh Heaven, right, Steven?
Yeah.
It finally ended after 400 years, and, the CW is like, no, we want to bring it back to our schedule. And the reason I heard this, Bill, is that some of the pilots they had for the new CW network have not been very good. They need something to fill up the schedule.
They need a solid.
So they're like, let's bring back Seventh Heaven. It's got its viewers. That'll get us some ratings.
Well, that's what you get whenever you blend a shit network, UPN,
right,
with a good show, Veronica Mars.
That's why I don't think it'll push Veronica Mars out, because they need all the quality programming they can get. And after watching this finale, if any executive is like, yeah, let's go ahead and cancel this show.
What is the point
of being in the television business, you know? But anyway, after that, let's talk about what happened on Alias this week.
Marshall found data on it, all of it encrypted. He also found something else. Bond's name was etched on the outside of the device. His real name, Andre Michaud.
Wait, what?
Someone Andre left Bond's Michaud name on it intentionally, expecting it to be found. Possible he may have some understanding of what the chip contains.
Dad, no. As far as Prophet 5 is concerned, Vaughn is dead. Involving him at this point
is... A calculated risk, I know.
He is not field ready.
I know, and I promise you I'll do everything I can to protect him. We'll have an agent dead drop the chip where Vaughn can recover. He'll never be seen.
Dad.
We don't have a choice. Right now this chip is our only lead.
Okay. But if someone's gonna take that chip to Vaughn, it's me.
Well, you're the star of the show. You should do it.
Hello?
Sydney, listen to me very carefully. There's been a security breach at APO. It was Sloan.
That was fast.
You
just got there.
You've been compromised.
No, we're right on time, actually. I'll call you once we arrive.
Serafans, they are a miracle.
Yes, they are. Red shirt character.
Thank you, Mr. Sherpa.
You're in a hurry.
Sherpa.
Perhaps shouldn't we stop the hell?
Guns grunting, squealing.
A lot of stuff going on.
Tires squealing, cars crashing.
Dead Sherpas! No!
I always get sad when Sherpas die. They always say when a bell rings, a Sherpa has died. So,
no more people up the Everest Trail.
remember in the last episode, Nadia died, right, Bill? Now,
yes,
just follow me here.
Did, in fact, die, even though...
She's on this episode. Now, they've developed a kind of Baltar and Six thing here, haven't they? Where Sloan is talking to his dead daughter all the time, and she's hovering over him, taunting him, and telling him what, you know, didn't that seem like a device right out of Battlestar Galactica? Did you, did that even occur to you?
Yeah, I was looking at the end credits to see if Ronald D. Moore was involved.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I got an idea. How about she's there in the room, but nobody else can see? Like, yeah, that sounds interesting.
We have found out that Sloane's not completely evil, but he's still working to his own endgame.
Right. He's not doing anything for Prophet 5. This is all for him.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they find in Rene Rien this gigantic microchip from the 70s in her chest, right? And it turns out...
I always
out,
wondered why her breasts were saggy.
And it turns out that Vaughn has one also. And
I always wondered why his breasts were saggy.
I mean, why did he... He's never had a chest x-ray, or... I guess it didn't show up on x-rays.
Yeah, I liked how he revealed it when he was like, oh, I've always had this gigantic scar on my, on my chest.
And, of course, Anna Espinosa is Sydney, which isn't a great storyline. It's kind of cheesy, but I see what they did at the end. It's she's Sydney. She's a Sydney doppelganger. Remember that, Steven?
Doppelganger.
And she shows up. She takes the chip out of Vaughn, and they find there's a secret warehouse that contains information about Prophet 5. Now, Sydney shows up just in time when Vaughn is about to get killed. Let's check it out.
Let's see if this one's loaded.
And they finally shot her in the head. She should always do with bad guys, otherwise they last like four seasons, Steve. Shoot him in the head.
Always put a man bullet in the head.
That was one powerful caliber bullet for it to go completely through her head.
Right.
Are you alright?
Yeah, I'm fine. How did you...
So what Sydney does is she uses the body of Anna Espinosa and says... pretends to be Anna, said I killed Sydney, and now she goes undercover, infiltrating Prophet 5 as herself. It's so confused. She's going to infiltrate Prophet 5 in the next episode. And it looks like in the scenes, you know, coming up that there's only three episodes left, Bill. Technically two. There's one hour long and then a 2-hour finale.
All I can say is, come on, let's get on with it. Let's get going.
Yeah, this whole episode and the whole Anna Espinosa storyline happened just so Sydney can infiltrate Prophet 5, right?
Yeah, I was sad when I heard that Alias was ending, but now I just want it to end already.
The thing also is page 47, I've talked about this before, it says, basically the Chosen One, which is Sydney, will bring down a great world power. None of the characters bring up the fact that maybe this world power is a huge world organized crime thing that's been around for hundreds of years. They think she's going to bring down the United States or something, which she's not. I mean, why hasn't anyone brought this up? Maybe they will on the finale, finally. But anyway, that's Alias. We'll see what happens in next week. But we got another show to talk about, and that's Lost. Let's check it out.
Otis!
The work being done in this place is important, Echo. You must help John. You must make him take you to the question mark.
Michael!
You shot me!
Go!
I got it! Come on, we gotta get you up, right?
Let me help you.
She's dead.
When did this happen? How long ago did he leave?
20 minutes, maybe a half hour ago.
We can pick up the trail. Catch
we should have our pizza by now.
John, you have trekking experience, yes?
Yes. I answered for you.
Here's a rhetorical question.
Dang it.
I can make her comfortable. I don't have what I need.
Why are you looking at me? I gave you all the damn meds 2 days ago.
The heroin, Sawyer.
And the condoms. I need protection.
Good lord.
He kept the guns here.
Fooled you, didn't I?
So hey, guys. You seen Libby around?
Oh, she's dead, Hurley.
Anyway, we're busy right now, so,
she's busy
piss
dying.
Off, John.
Wake up, John.
No! Oh!
The man that just
lower lumbar.
Well, would have filled out in the morning.
It wasn't even me. It was you. He wanted me to follow him.
Follow him where?
To Paradise City, where the grass is green and the girls are pretty.
Hey, who wouldn't want to go there?
Please take me home.
I don't see nothing.
Steven, do you know what they find under the plane?
A body. A treasure chest.
A Starbucks.
Sweet.
They find another hatch.
The hatch, too.
John.
Electric Boogaloo.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mark Rickman, and this is the orientation film for Station 5 of the Dharma Initiative. Your duty is to observe team members in another station on the island. All you need to know is the subjects believe their job is of the utmost importance.
My pathetic little life is as useless as that button! It's meaningless.
My brother Yemi was placed on a plane.
Yemi.
Which took off from an airstrip in Nigeria.
I mean,
and
yummy.
Somehow, here. I found him in the same plane that took off from Nigeria. That has
conceived. Twinkity, ain't it?
How can you say this is meaningless?
Like this, meaningless.
Well, now that you say it in that terrific African accent of yours, it's not meaningless.
I'm sorry.
It's quite eloquent.
Thank God.
He made it, Libby. It's okay, it's alright.
No, you idiots! She says Michael, and they're like, oh, he's gonna be pretty good, Libby. She's like, oh, I'm just gonna die and get it over with. So frustrating. Ah, yes, another episode of Lost. Now see, Steven, what they find is a hatch underground. And it's like an observation hatch. It's called the Pearl. And it has a bunch of old TV monitors, and they watch what's going on in all the different hatches. Except there's only one monitor that works, apparently, and it's the Swan Station. They're watching the screen, and they see Jack walk by, like, what the hell? And it's got, like, rows of notebooks that they're supposed to write everything down. And there's even, like, one of those pneumatic tubes where you stick the message in, it goes, shroom, you know.
Goes somewhere.
And
Locke, to the bank.
Locke decides to stick his little bank statement with the map that he was trying to draw from the wall. He sticks that in there and it gets sucked up. I don't know what the hell is going on with that, but I thought it was really... I get real excited whenever there's something like that on the show, like,
something,
oh, this
new.
Is neat. Yeah, something neat. And on the recording, the guy even says, when you're supposed to do this 8 hours a day where you observe... And then he says, at the end of your 8-hour shift, go to the Pala Ferry, and then it gets garbled, and it's like there's some kind of ferry on the island, like you can ride to the other side. Is this like an old amusement park or something?
I keep telling you, it's not that kind of ferry. It's a gay man.
Oh, and he gives you like a piggyback ride. Oh, man, you're always one step ahead, Bill.
I know.
Bill is riding this show. Oh, Jesus. How great would it have been that he leave the hatch and this guy's like, you guys ready? Hop on my back! And Echo's like, who are you?
I'm the ferry ride!
I was also thinking how great, the plane is on top of the hatch the whole time. How great would it have been they open it up, there's a dead guy in there who obviously starved to death because he couldn't leave the hatch. It's like, there's something on top of the door, I can't get out! So he's just
so they just happen to land there during between shifts.
Yeah. But I don't know what the hell's going on with that.
So it's a test, basically, to see if you'll go nuts protecting the island.
Right. We don't even know that yet.
Yeah, it says your job is to write down what the people are doing and their different jobs and all the different hatches. All you need to know is they believe that they're doing something that is of the utmost importance.
I think that these DeGroote people are kind of like L. Ron Hubbards. I think this is some weird Scientologist experiment.
It's possible. How great would that be?
If you do not push this button, Xenu will escape.
He's under the island! Around a volcano where all the Thetans are. Now, Bill, have you been playing the Lost Experience? You know, they have the commercials where you can unlock clues.
No, but for the first time I saw that Hanzo Foundation commercial last week during the last 15 minutes of the show.
Yeah, I've been going to like the HanzoFoundation.org, and
there's another one too. I can't remember what.
Right,
it is.
It's Lyman something. I forget what it is, but there's a cool website I found that's taking down all the clues, and they'll spell everything out for you, so you don't have to. Like, if you have better stuff to do during the day and you just want to read the clues, the Lost Experience clues.blogspot.com has like everything you need to know. That way you won't have to hunt everything down. It's pretty cool. I'll take a look at that so I don't have to, you know, some people like to look around for clues and stuff, but I just want to know what the stuff is saying. I just think it's kind of a neat thing. But anyway, that's Lost. You know, the season's coming to a close. I hope it has a good finale. Remember season one, Bill, a lot of people were upset because they thought that the episode one of this season should have been the finale last season. Now, will they end on a big explosive finale? I don't know.
No, there's no way in hell they will. They won't. That'll be just the same as last season where people go,
peter out.
What?
Yeah. All right, Bill, you ready to do the news?
An issue here. I've got an issue.
All right, Bill, what you got in the news this week?
Well, I'm going to try to get through this one without laughing.
All right.
I'm going to try my best.
Ooh, it must be a good
Simpson
one.
Returns to television.
Oh, dear.
O.J. Simpson is appearing in a pay-per-view reality show in which he disguises himself as an Elvis impersonator, a street corner fruit seller, an elderly man at a bingo game, and as himself, trying to sell the Bronco used in the slow chase that ended with his arrest on charges of murdering his ex-wife, according to the syndicated Inside Edition, which aired the Bronco segment on its Thursday night edition. The show, titled Juiced, is due to air on pay-per-view this month and will be followed by the release of a DVD.
Pay-per-view?
His attorney said that Simpson was not paid to do the show. He decided to do this because he wants to do it and he wanted to have fun with it, according to executive producer Rick
Mayer.
He
wants to have fun with the fact that his wife was murdered, possibly by him.
No, not possibly. He killed her.
Yes, I'm on your side.
All the evidence points to he killed her.
But
this
gonna
is
have
just
fun
shocking
with it.
That he would try to sell, you know, like a candid camera version, like, hey, I'm O.J. Simpson. When you want to buy my slow chase Bronco?
How many miles you got on that thing, O.J.?
They're slow, but they're freeway miles.
I'm really glad that Stephen amused himself with
that. Who the hell's going to pay for this?
No one.
Who's going to pay for it, and who's going to buy the upcoming DVD? I mean, seriously. The dude just needs to disappear into obscurity.
Right.
Who's going to buy the Bronco?
I was watching something a few years ago where O.J. Simpson was, like, walking the road with, like, one of those syndicated news reporters. And this lady came up to him and said, can I shake your hand? He was like, absolutely. And she goes, I've never shaken the hand of a murderer before.
Nice. Like,
wow. Ouch.
All right. Next news story. Florida police detective apologizes after wife strips on radio show. In Boynton Beach, Florida, a police detective has apologized for appearing on a popular radio show while his wife stripped naked. According to the Palm Beach Post, Tony Raines told his colleagues that he showed poor judgment by appearing on Howard Stern's radio show with his wife in April. Raines' wife was fined last month as a child abuse investigator for the State Department of Children and Families. The couple visited the program while vacationing in New York in April, and photos of the visit were posted on Stern's website. Cushman had appeared on the show last year when she allegedly removed all her clothes so Stern and the rest of the show could assess her body. According to the show's website, Raines appeared on the April broadcast giving Stern a shirt and a replica of his police badge. So these poor bastards get, the wife gets fired, and the husband gets has to apologize for living their life and happening to go on a national radio show.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, it all happened over a year ago.
Yeah.
And it's just happening now with the repercussions?
Yeah.
Oh, they had a good run.
Yeah. This is serious here. This story's out of New Zealand, but it could happen to you.
Uh-oh.
A patient's gas leak is being blamed for bringing a hospital operation to a fiery end. The man suffered minor burns in a brief but dramatic operating theater fire, which is believed to... Operating theater, I guess, is what they call an operating room in Kiwi land, which is believed to have been caused by flatulence. The New Zealand Herald reported today, the man was at Southern Cross Hospital in Invercargill to have hemorrhoids removed and was signed in the exceedingly rare incident. And what the hell? Who writes this shit? speaking of English? Okay, I'm going to try to get through this even though it makes no sense.
Shit.
The man was at the Southern Cross Hospital at Invercargill to have hemorrhoids removed and was signed in the exceedingly rare involvement incident involving his own gas. Though this was thought to be flatus containing methane igniting, a health source told the newspaper. There was a sort of flash fire, and that was it. But it was fairly alarming at the time.
Wow.
And here they get into this could be left out. Hemorrhoids are swollen veins in the lining of the anus. If they protrude outside the body and become troublesome, they can be removed by surgery, which in the Invercargill case employed an electrical diametherapy machine, a handheld tool for cutting tissue and cauterizing to stop bleeding. Yeah. It produces heat and can spark. So this guy's laying on an operating table, getting the hemorrhoids cut off, releases a fart, and this sucker starts a flash fire that probably singes his ass hair off.
Oh my god.
That's just the
I thought they used lasers to do this.
Well, what did the laser do?
they used some lightsabers to cut hemorrhoids off.
Oh man, well, that's way down the line on Jedi training. It's like, ooh, today you will learn hemorrhoid removal in your Jedi training.
Oh man! But don't fart.
It's part of the Jedi trials. That's why they never showed it in the movie. They just couldn't get away with that. Not even Lucas could get away with showing that.
I mean, wasn't the guy not supposed to eat for like 24 hours before the surgery?
I'm sure, but
all the gas been out.
He just could not help himself with the carne asada. Okay, West Hollywood, California, four arrested in pot burglary attempt. Four men were arrested Friday for investigation of trying to burgle a medical marijuana clinic after someone used a garden hose to climb down from the roof, authorities said.
Oh, bad men, idea.
It sounds like that movie Half-Baked. The men, whose identities were not immediately released, were arrested without incident and did not manage to steal any pot. Bummer. Deputy responded to the burglary alarm at the pharmacy medical marijuana dispensary around 5:45 a.m. because when you want to steal marijuana, you want to steal it first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, no!
The burglar apparently cut open a metal grate on top of the roof and used a garden hose to lower himself down.
Why didn't he use a rope?
Because yeah, well, garden hose is a stretch. So like a bungee cord, he can just kind of bounce right
already.
Out.
Yeah, he's totally baked.
Yeah,
dude, man. Jesus.
Let's go get some pot.
Let's use this hose, man.
It's like
awesome.
A rope.
Then we'll smoke out of it.
Marijuana is not a drug. I used to suck dick for coke.
workers at the dispensary could not immediately be reached for comment Friday because its telephone number was listed as temporarily unavailable. California voters in 96 approved marijuana for medical use with a doctor's recommendation. So, hey, if I can't even believe they didn't even get any pot. They must have been freaking burnt out. Like, hey, man, let's get in here and get some pot. Oh, shit, man, it's the fuzz. All right, here's some cult news.
All right, we love cult news. We need a theme, cult news.
Some Scientologists think that the higher you go in the controversial church, the better you get. And there are currently 8 levels to measure just how good you're getting.
Nice.
As along the pay-as-you-go path provided to the faithful regarding Scientology's progressive revelation, which is Xenu. Tom Cruise, Jenna Elfman, and John Travolta have all managed to pay their way to operating Feet Level 7, or OT7. No doubt the trio hopes to someday reach the lofty heights of OT8. But
yes.
If Scott W. Snow is any example of these for these celebrities of what comes through such enlightenment, maybe they should reconsider their religious path. Snow reached the pinnacle of Scientology's OT8 back in 1989, but he ended up becoming a slumlord, reports St. Petersburg Times. The Florida businessman is currently being investigated on 13-9 separate code violations, complaints at his 3 St. Petersburg apartment buildings, and 24 of his tenants have hired a lawyer to prepare a lawsuit against him. But how could this happen to someone so enlightened? A 1999 Scientology business directory, the WISE, they have their own friggin' business directory, lists Snow as a member that supposedly ascribes to higher standards than are generally accepted in the business world.
He only applies them to himself.
He stopped practicing some years ago.
Yeah. Does slumlord somehow fit in within that description? One of Snow's tenants picketed after being forced to evacuate his building by authorities due to code violations. The possibly homeless man sign reads, "We demand decent housing." Wouldn't decent housing fit within the higher standards expected from the WISE member? A spokesman for Scientology in Clearwater admitted that an OT8 like Snow should have a higher level of ethics. However, somehow it just didn't take with this Scientologist.
Wow.
Yeah, that's really too bad, because when you're so high above everyone else, you should really be a better person.
Yeah, well, maybe that's it. You know, it improves you, but, I mean, why should you bother helping anyone else out?
Well, they're
why
not
care about anyone?
Let me get you a fucking shine box.
If they weren't Scientologists, why care about them? You know, hey.
And the last story... Toledo, Ohio.
Readings.
Absolutely not.
Say that again. You are. Wah. Wow.
I love this story. You can guess whether or not it's a satire or a parody, but it's just a great story. Toledo, Ohio. Kevin Garrity has been working at 7-Eleven for nearly 4 months. In that time, he has, in his words, far surpassed the usual expectations of incompetence. They go along with such entry-level work. Garrity says that despite his obvious genius, he gets no respect from customers, his coworkers, or even his employer. I am 16 credits and a dissertation away from my PhD in early modern German philosophy. You'd think I was just another lackey around here, he mused. It is clear that the citizens of the world wouldn't know brilliance if it bit them on the proverbial ass. Garrity said that his attempt to bring an ounce of culture to the 7-Eleven store in which he works has been fruitless. Whenever I change the radio station to jazz or classical music, these illiterate Philistines act like I am performing surgery on them without anesthesia, he said, sipping a cup of cappuccino. When I suggested that we employees might start a book club on Thursday nights, not a single one of these simpletons signed up. The unappreciated convenience clerk said that he was most surprised at the seemingly lack of intelligent customers who might enjoy his acerbic wit or wealth of knowledge. You'd think that statistically speaking, the odds are favorable that a thoughtful customer would eventually pass through these doors, said Garrity. The fact remains that every person with whom I have tried to discuss Kant's transcendental idealism with his moral philosophy on the autonomy of reason has given me the same stupid blank stare. Garrity, who has held five or six similar positions in the past 2 years, said that he will continue to persevere in his efforts to bring enlightenment and heady discourse to 7-Eleven. The manager of the store, however, expressed a different view to Toledo Tales reporters. I have never met such a pompous ass as Kevin. And we get a lot of oddballs working here, says Ed Misiddlejack. If he wasn't the only body I have to have thrown in the place on midnights, I would have shit-canned him weeks ago. All I ask is that he stalks the place before he leaves, and he gives me this morality is rooted in human freedom and acting autonomously is to act according to the rational, moral principle bullshit. Say, pal, interested in a second job?
I feel like I've been stabbed in the heart.
There you got a story from Toledo Tales, which is a great Blogspot site.
Nice.
And that is the news.
You can never go to Blogspot enough.
And I am out of here.
Why, thank you, Bill. Thank you very much for doing the news. Let's check out what's happening in DVDs this week. What do you say, Steven?
Let's do it.
You gonna do it, Steven?
Let's do the DVDs, let's do the DVDs, DVD, 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 DVDs, DVDs.
All right, Bill, what do we got in DVDs this week? Hot damn.
All right. This is not the best week for DVDs.
Don't
I'm
look at me that way, Mulberry Bill.
I'm sorry, Eugene, but it's just not that good. For you 1978 punk fans, we've got Blondie Live 1978.
Nice.
So good. That's nice.
It's a 30-minute concert. And it's in Dolby Digital 5.1.
Wow.
So, hey,
good. Totally remastered, as they say, in the DVD biz.
And it's before Deborah Harry looked like a whale, so...
Of course she looked like the bottom of an ashtray.
Yeah.
Nasty.
Trio is releasing... Well, I think it's Bravo who owns Trio. They're releasing... Brilliant but canceled collection on DVD.
Oh.
And they're starting with the series Easy Streets that had Ken Olin, Joe Pantoliano, and Jason Gedrick. If you remember it, if you enjoyed it, you want to see it again, there you go, Easy Streets. There's another DVD in the Brilliant but Canceled coming out with shows that only lasted one episode.
Wow.
Called Crime Dramas. Del Vicio, Gideon Oliver, Johnny Staccato, and Touching Evil are the four shows on the DVD.
Now, is that Touching Evil the American version or the British version?
I believe it's probably the American version.
Oh, that was a good show. I think it lasted more than one episode, though.
Yeah, I think they're just throwing episodes on and calling it like a compilation of them called Crime Dramas. They may release more, I don't know, but I'm sure it's on Trio if you want to watch it.
Cool.
Did I happen to mention that these DVDs are for May 16th, 2006?
No, you haven't.
Well, these DVDs are for May 16th, 2006.
Hello.
Here's a...
Hello, Squiggy.
How are you? I'm good, thanks. Here's a DVD for me, because I'm a big wimp. Bruce Hornsby in the Range... Rockplast, 1990.
You told me about my alleged sexual harassment, right?
Oh. So it's a 72-minute concert in Dolby Digital 5.1.
That's just the way it is, man. Oh, God, I didn't want to say it, but my mouth said it instead.
Wait a second. Sorry. I think I hear the mandolin rain.
Poor little guys.
And, yeah, so, hey, it's got to be kind of cool. If you like that sort of
I just
thing.
Got shivers from thinking about it.
Shut up.
No, I'm saying that's how great it is.
You bastard.
That's making... just the way it is.
Yeah, we got it the first two times.
Nice.
All right, here's one for the people that absolutely love horrible films with top-notch actors. Con Air, the unrated extended edition.
Sweet.
Why it's unrated, why it's extended, I have no idea.
Skip to the end.
Yeah, the Con Air is not a good movie.
Con Air is quite possibly one of the worst scripts ever, but with some of the greatest actors. And Nick Cage is just absolutely horrible in it.
John Malkovich, John Cusack.
John Malkovich as Cyrus the Virus was great, though.
Nicolas Cage, Steve really Buscemi. Good.
I love the Dave Chappelle falling from the airplane.
Yeah. Cue ball or whatever his
name
was. Yeah,
cue ball.
Then, of course,
no, I thought it was
Cage.
Ping pong or something.
I told you to put the butter bag in the box.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some really painful one-liners in there, but hey.
And the guy in charge on Lost, he's the pilot. Yeah.
Here's another one. I think Jerry Bruckheimer's just whipping these things out because he needs a little extra cash.
Right.
Coyote Ugly, unrated extended cut.
Ah, yes.
Now, if this movie had more TNA, I might buy it, but because it doesn't, I won't buy it. Here's an actual good Jerry Bruckheimer film, Crimson Tide, unrated extended cut.
Ah,
now, the only
Tony
reason
Scott.
I will actually be buying this is because it's finally going to be an anamorphic widescreen, and the original release was not.
Ah.
So, Denzel Washington, Gene Hackman, Viggo Mortensen, Jimmy Gandolfini.
Yep, Viggo.
And my favorite actor in it, George D'Zunza.
George D'Zunza.
D'Zunza.
Yeah, how the hell do you say that guy's name? Yeah, didn't the agent say, we gotta change your name?
We'll
change
no
your one
name.
Can say it. It confuses people. You know that actress, CCH Pounder? I was like, is her name Kachu? How the hell do you say that name? Kachu Pounder.
It's so hard to say.
Like, how the hell do you say that name?
It's just CCH Pounder, yet wow, no one would get anywhere near that. All right, here's another film for you people.
Hey, I'm a historian of ass.
This is a highly rated film from Leonard Maltin, and that means a lot when it considers
yes!
Leonard Maltin and his the films he likes.
Since he did give Laser Blast 2.5
Laser Blast 2.5 stars. Duma, the widescreen edition. I guess it's about some cheetah in South Africa, and it looks like the cheetah has caps that the people in South Africa wear. It's a kid's movie. I could give a shit.
Awesome.
Back to the Jerry Bruckheimer shitstorm of DVDs. Enemy of the State, unrated extended cut.
Unwatchable.
Because you need more bullshit. And Will Smith. When I think bullshit, I think Will Smith. Next DVD.
What the hell did you just say?
And in this unrated extended cut, Chris Tucker makes an appearance.
Awesome.
Here's another one. Gone in 60 seconds. Director's cut. And what movie needed a director's cut more than Gone in 60 Seconds?
Oh my God, what the hell are these studios doing? The movie didn't even have a director, did it? Didn't they just do shit, drive cars around and film it? Christ.
His name was Alan Smithy.
Isn't it, is it Simon West or the same guy?
No, it's Dominic Cena.
Oh, Jesus. Dominic Cena. It's another one of these rock video guys, or like they give him a movie. They do these digital horror movies, Steven.
It's horrible.
And they're directing these movies. Con Air and Gone in 60 Seconds suck, all
right? Right.
You telling me they chopped up their vision?
It's an unrated new extended version.
Oh,
oh hell yeah.
They added more shit into it.
They totally
you
just
come up
screwed
with this
up
shit?
My vision, dude.
Awesome.
Eleanor had a much bigger part in this movie.
Eleanor?
Wasn't that the car's name that...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
See, Steven, that's bad that you know that.
Well, it's only on TNT every freaking day.
Well, that's it doesn't mean thing. You have to watch it.
Yeah, you're just flipping channels. You hear the word Eleanor as you're going by.
That's a great thing.
I've seen it.
All right.
I think I've seen it maybe twice.
And it's got Angelina Jolie in it.
Yeah,
for
it's
about
just
5
so
minutes.
Memorable.
Mm-hmm. Horrible. Movie.
Here's one that I'll buy. I have every one leading up to this one. Mystery Science Theater 3000 Collection, Volume 9.
Wow, awesome.
It's got Women of the Prehistoric Planet, Wild Rebels, The Sinister Urge, and the incredibly strange creatures who stopped living and became mixed-up zombies.
Sweet.
Watch out for snakes.
I love this show. I love everything that they do, except there are some that are painfully awful, and they'll admit it. You know, there's just some movies that are so bad.
Now, they're releasing every single episode or just their favorites?
You know, I don't know how this is going, but the collections just tend to be four films that, I guess, Rhino picks. I don't know.
Like,
but every collection has been good so far.
Girl with the Golden Boots.
Side hacking.
One of my favorites being Space Mutiny, which is just a classic. Calgon, take me away! Okay, here's another double dip that I just don't understand. Napoleon Dynamite, like the best special edition ever.
They just had to do it. They had to double dip.
It's a two-disc special edition. Disc one has an audio commentary by director, co-writer Jared Hess, actor John Heder, and producer Jeremy Kuhn. All new cast commentary by Aaron Rule, Efren Ramirez, John Grease, and Tina
Majorino.
Tina Majorino.
Mac is, from Veronica Mars.
Yeah. And disc two has the world premiere Jared Hess, a non-linear look at the director of Napoleon Dynamite. On location, Napoleon Dynamite, deleted scenes with commentary by Jared Hess, John Heder, and Jeremy Kuhn.
This is all see, new. I own the original one or whatever that came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Steven, if you buy this, what do you think? You gonna buy it?
No.
All new outtakes and additional extended alternate scenes. It's got a shitload of extras.
Sounds
on
like
it.
Jesus.
This is pretty much the worst video ever made.
I would have bought it if I didn't already own it. You know, I'm just so sick of the double dipping thing that I'm just not going to buy it.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah, I've kind of stopped caring about the double dip now. It's like if something else comes out, I'm trying not to buy it unless it's just something I just can't do
live
without. Yeah.
Yeah.
Say like last week there was the Facts of Life box set. If like a year later they're like, we have unearthed 5 unseen Facts of Life episodes. Rebuy this box set, it'll be worth it. I'd be like, hell yeah, I'm doing it, man. I gotta see those 5 unaired episodes.
I mean, I bought my first one here.
I've always wanted to see that Lost episode where Tootie gets AIDS. On a special Facts of Life.
That would be a very special one.
Tootie sucks her face.
Damn it!
Oh, Blair comes home with chlamydia.
They got it, drop Foggy.
This... I got this film 2 years ago, I think, on Region 3 DVD out of Hong Kong. It's Jackie Chan's New Police Story. It's actually a pretty good action flick. It's not great, but it's good. But I have a feeling this Lionsgate release is probably dubbed, and dubbing is horrible.
Absolutely not. Say that again.
Wow. Unless they get Jackie Chan to dub it.
Jackie Chan does dub his character.
Oh, that's good.
There's special features on it with an introduction from Jackie Chan. There's a select scene commentary with Jackie Chan, which I bet is just absolutely hilarious with his horrible broken English. But there's a featurette.
He's had better by now, right?
He a little better, but it's still pretty horrible.
He a little better.
A little better.
You understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
God, Chris Tucker's voice is so annoying.
There's a featurette called I Hate English Dubbing with Jackie Chan that could be funny, but...
It is really horrible.
I might rent it to just see what they do with it. But I have the Region 3 version already, and it's cool. It's a good action flick. It's a little it's a mix of just about every movie cliche you've seen, though, with like the villains with the masks, you know, like Point Break.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it's
come on.
All right. next DVD, the producers with Matthew, I'm gay, Lane, and Matthew...
The guy was gay.
Fair, I'm not gay, Broderick.
It's so exciting.
I can't wait to see this, Stevens.
Deleted scenes with new musical numbers because the movie just didn't have enough musical numbers to begin with.
Oh, that's good.
Outtakes and commentary. I'm going to pass on that one.
Save yourself the dime and get the original one.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take the original.
And when I saw, I don't have nothing against Will Ferrell, but when I saw that they had him in there as the guy who wrote it, I was just like, no, you know what? Stop.
Come on, just don't mess with Brooks. Will Brooks is awesome. He did a great job the first time.
Well, yeah. Even Mel Brooks is the one that started this whole friggin' thing.
I understand, but...
He's just getting old, senile, you know.
Maybe he just needed the cash. Yeah.
All right, next DVD, second to last DVD, actually. You mentioned it earlier, or actually, I think, was it Ron that mentioned it? The Ringer, starring Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, it was.
It's got the filmmaker's cast commentary. I would love it if the Mongoloids were part of the commentary.
Is Mongoloid a, is it a PC term, or?
No, I don't think it is.
Where does the term Mongoloid come from?
I think it's from, actually, a race of people.
Isn't that Mongoloid, the medical term for it? Mongoloidism?
Yeah, Mongolism is how they describe people with Down syndrome.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I was curious.
Now they're just Downs kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Close the goddamn door.
You're a robot?
I love that.
Close the goddamn door.
You have a robot?
Genius.
Yes. Okay, so next. This is probably the most important DVD release. People remember this film from the 70s because it was so important. When a Stranger Calls, the remake from 2006. There's nothing quite like giving up the big scare of the film in the trailer.
Yeah, he's in the house.
So, if you want to... And Simon West did direct this.
Oh, Jesus. Good old Simon West. They keep giving him work, don't they?
Yeah, he's got one hell of a track record. I mean, when A Stranger Calls, the Laura Croft movies, Con Air. And that's DVDs for May 16th, 2006.
Awesome. Great. I'm going to pick up a lot of these.
Yeah, because they're all so friggin' terrific.
Suck on this.
Exactly. They tell us to suck on this and then pull the trigger.
Don't they know the pop culture zealot will buy them if they put them out? Just put out the good ones.
Yes.
I buy them.
Exactly. All right, everybody. That's episode 35 of Nowhere in Mulberry. I'd like to thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to our diatribes on Smallville, and I hope we didn't piss people off that much. I think everyone agrees with us on our Star Wars talk. Wouldn't you think, Bill?
Unless they're
Tom
idiots.
Cruise.
I disagree with it.
Well, hey, Tom.
Unless
sorry.
They're being
everybody
glib.
Has
yeah.
There is no such thing as a chemical imbalance. You're glib. You don't even know what Ritalin is.
All right, everybody. Go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email. I get more emails every week, guys. It's pretty cool. You know, people awesome. Just saying, hey, I just want to say I like the show. I have nothing more to say than that. Keep up the good work, which is always cool. Because I listen to shows, radio or podcasts, and it takes a lot to make you want to actually write the show or whatever, but just people taking the time to say, hey, I like the show, that's pretty cool of them.
And I know we do a late night chat. If
Friday night chats.
Friday chats. So
last night we had another Friday night chats.
I joined a little late, but
I ended up getting disconnected.
We basically
there was something up with the chat room last night. It was crazy.
It was acting wonky. We'll get Chloe on that. Chloe O'Brien.
Hey, you used my word, wonky.
So we'll usually on the chat room we talk about old movies or whatever, just pop culture stuff. But
hopefully we'll have her back on the show next week because I know there are Vanessa fans and I don't hold a flickering candle to her news reading ability.
A flickering candle. But you know what? You did a very good performance.
And a performance that will chill you to the bone.
No, it already happened.
I'm trying for it to be Emmy worthy.
Exactly.
I'll call Kelsey Grammer and see if I can.
Yeah. Maybe he'll make you breakfast. Toss salad, scrambled eggs, you know, you never know. Be good stuff.
Well, I'm looking for an amount of gravitas.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Episode 35. I can't believe we've made it this far. What do you say we don't stop? Let's just keep doing shows. What do you guys think?
All right, let's start the next one.
All right, episode 36 coming up next. See you next week.
Did he just call me boy?
Now this is podcasting.